up in verse 6 is where we left off last week. But I want to read this whole thing. Remember, that word connects us back to chapter 9. Brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud, passed through the sea, and were all baptized under Moses in the clouds and in the sea. He's telling them, I've given you leadership. I gave the children of Israel all that they needed to live a successful life following me. And all were baptized under Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and did all eat the same spiritual meat. You got all the same spiritual teachings. Remember, we talked about how some people can come to church, and some say, I get something out of it. Some say, I got nothing out of it. It doesn't have to do with the messenger or the message. It has to do with the one receiving it. And our hearts have to be open. And did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Jesus. But with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now these things were our examples, to the intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Neither be ye idolaters, as were some of them. As it is written, the people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. Neither let us commit fornication, as some of them committed, and fell in one day, 23,000. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Neither murmur ye, as some of them also murmured, and were destroyed of the destroyer. Now all these things happen unto them for examples, and they were written for an admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. There hath no temptation taken you, but such as common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that ye are able, but will with the temptation also make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you for your precious word. And Lord, I pray as we look at your word this morning, Lord, you will show us some of the truths that you want us to glean and to learn and apply to our hearts and to our lives. We pray in Jesus' precious and holy name. Amen. We're going to pick up and being reminded of past mistakes. We ended with this point. We just basically read the verse, gave a couple thoughts. But verse 6 is the springboard where we go into verses 7 through verse 10. So look at verse 6 with me, as we're reminded of a lesson here. And reminded of what he was trying to get the church of Corinth. Remember, the church of Corinth was in a very wicked city. This was a city that was a major trade port. And individuals there, much wickedness was taking place, and some of that was coming into the church. This is why Paul wrote the letters there to the church of Corinth to help them and guide them in their struggles that they were facing. And he says, all right, you're going through some of these struggles. Now I'm going to give you these lessons back from the children of Israel during the wilderness days and during this time so you can learn from this in your life. Look at verse number 6. Now these things were our examples. All right? What I'm giving you is an example. It's not an all-inclusive list. I'm going to give you an example that will help you. I'm going to give you a principle. I'm going to give you a thought. I'm going to give you a lesson that, if you can get a hold of it, will help you in your life. Do you know in this, what we're going to look at, there is a wonderful truth here. That if we would get a hold of what is said in verse number 6 and then understand what it means in verse 7 to verse 10, it will transform our lives as a believer. It will transform our lives how we're living. It will transform your lives how you're running. Now, those that have ever been part of sports, those that have been part of different activities, you always want to do the best you can, right? And if you were told that there's some product out there There is something out there that would revolution how you do things. It would change you and it would give you that extra oomph in your race, right? How many would do it? If you were told, and now some of you don't have to raise your hand, if you were told that there was a diet product that actually worked, and all you had to do is take this magic pill, of this diet pill, and it would, you would lose weight overnight, you would lose as much weight as you wanted, you just put it in your phone, push the button, it would program your little pill, you take your pill, you wake up the next morning, and you're 100 pounds lighter. How many would like that? All right. That doesn't work, does it? But here we're given a truth that will work. Here we're given a truth. If we get a hold of this, now get this. I think sometimes in our minds, we say, well, we already know all the answers. We know what we're supposed to be doing. We know how we're supposed to be living. We know what we're supposed to be doing. But this is the thought here. If we got a hold of this thought, if we got a hold of this truth here, it will change the way that our young people live. Look at our world today. Look at what young people are involved in. Well, it's not just the young people. Look at the middle-aged people. Look at what they're involved in. Look at what they're doing. Do you know it's not just the middle-aged people? It's the senior saints. Let's talk about the old folks. Not old fogies, Steve. Older folks. And look at what they're involved in. Look what they're doing. You say, what do you mean? Do you know that they say that people over the age of 65 are more likely to be involved in immoral acts than the younger generation? You say, what are you talking about? Because the older people, they say, do more on their phone and television watching stuff that they should not watch and put before their eyes than even younger people. Wow. You know why? Because the old people have time on their hands. And they get involved in things. You say, wait a second. This is where we're living. This is what's happening. This is what's going on. And so here's the truth that he's telling in Corinth. You know, and he even addresses the immoral acts that are taking place during this day. And he says, it's happening. Do you know in our culture, in our country today, immorality is on the rise. Wickedness is on the rise. And here's the truth here. Look at verse 6. Now these things were a sample to the intent. We should not lust after evil things, as they also lusted. You know what the problem with the children of Israel were? They lusted after evil things. They wanted the evil stuff. They wanted the wicked stuff. They wanted stuff they should not have. How many of you wanted something you should not have had? Now think about it. Now I use this because those that have been around know that I struggled with weight for many, many, many years. And there are certain things I know that even today I might want, but I shouldn't have. Now, I've shared this before. My favorite thing on the face of this earth is strawberry rhubarb pie. That is one of the best things in the world. What's that? Well, White Castle's second. But I can't get that. I can get strawberry rhubarb pie. I love strawberry rhubarb pie. I love it where it has that, just that tartness about it. You don't need, I mean, where it just has that little kick in the back of your throat that tickles. I mean, that's the good stuff. And then you put a scoop of vanilla ice cream. You put in the microwave for 30 seconds to pie. Then you put a scoop of vanilla ice cream on top of it. And it just slowly melts that ice cream. Oh, glory. It's one of the best things in the world. But do you know what? I know that's not the best thing for me to eat. Because I know me. One piece is not enough. I tell you. You start with one piece, Brother Rich. And then what happens? I'm just going to take my fork and take another little bite out of the pan, right? Out of the dish, pie dish. You've never done that, have you? And you take a little bit. Ooh. Do you know what? I'm just going to have a little more. So you take your knife and you cut a little sliver of it. And you put that on your plate. And you eat that. And then before you know it, you eat a little more. Come on, don't look at me like I'm the only sinner in this room. You've done it too. And you've done this. Wait a second. We're not to lust after. We're not to want things we should not have. Do you know there's certain things that a believer should not want in their lives? They shouldn't have in their lives. Do you know some things you and I need to abstain from in our lives? It's not the best thing for us. Remember, Paul talked about this in chapter 6. He's going to talk about it again later on in even chapter 10. What might be okay or lawful isn't expedient. It isn't the best for you. Do you know some things we're not to lust after? We're not to want? He says, you know what? Learn from their past because they lusted after evil things. Do you know why the world puts the commercials and puts things in front of our faces? Because if it can get in front of our eyes, it enters the eye gate, then it enters the mind, then it enters our heart and into our life. And they know if we see it, if they paint that picture of the evilness looks good. Now, some of you have been around a long time. You know they used to have a lot of different commercials that they don't have as much. And one of those commercials they had was a smoking commercial. And they would show this cool dude in this black leather jacket, in his white t-shirt. Come on, you remember. And their pants rolled up. I mean, that was cool. And they would show them, and they would show them smoking this cigarette and how cool it was. But you know what they never showed? Was the lungs of this guy after he's smoking for 30 years. And they would paint this picture of this, what this is looking like, and the coolness of this and that. And they would paint this, and people would lust after the evilness. That now, in our day and age, it's not smoking, it's called vaping. And they made these wonderful fruity flavors that appeal to individuals, even though it says they should not have it right on their warning label. And people have flocked to that. And they think it's a cool thing to do and it's this type of stuff to do. But it's evilness that we're lusting after, the things of this world that's going to do harm to our bodies, do harm to our lives, and hurt us. The Bible says the problem with Egyptians, the problem with the children of Israel, is they lusted after evil things. They lusted after things they should not want. Be reminded from the past mistakes that the children of Israel made. Be reminded that they wanted what they should not have in their life. The Bible tells us many times in the Old Testament they did what was right in their own eyes, not that which was right in the sight of God. Get this. Do you know who you should do right in the sight of? God. But what do we use as our standard today? We use this world system as our standard. I haven't killed anyone. So since I haven't killed anyone, I'm not as wicked as that person that's in the world. That's our standard. I haven't stole the car. I might have just stole the candy bar. But I haven't stolen the car, so I'm not as bad. I haven't done Grand Theft Auto. I haven't done those things. So I'm better than that person. Wait a second. We remind from the past, we should not lust after evil things. We should not want the things that the world wants. Love not the world, neither the things in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. The Bible says we're not to lust after the world. We're not to love the world. We're not to want the things of the world. We'll want the things of God. Stop seeking the things that are going to destroy you. Start seeking the things that are going to help you in your life to follow after God, to run that race that God has called you to. You know what? There's things that are going to slow you down in your race. Don't seek after those things. Don't seek after the things that are going to get you on a detour, get you off track, and get you off focus. Stay focused on the Lord. Don't go after those things that are going to hinder you. Go after those things that are going to help you. Go after what's going to help you. Now look a little further. He says these are an example. It's an example for you. This is what they were doing. They were lusting after evil things. And then he's going to give a list of some of the evil things that they were seeking after. Now, this is not an all-inclusive list. This is to give you categories and ideas so you can kind of paint the picture. And you see this. Neither be ye idolaters. All right? There's a reminder to keep from destructive behavior. All right? Learn from the past mistakes. Keep from destructive behavior. And what's one of the destructive behaviors? Idolatry. We could go to 1 Corinthians chapter 5 and verse 11 and see this. We can go to 1 John chapter 5 verse 21. We can go to other portions of scriptures that the Bible tells us. We can go back to the Old Testament about not having any other idols. We can look at many things that the children of God are not to be falling an idol. It says this in this portion of scripture. It says that we are not to be idolaters. That means we are not to put something or someone before God. Don't be ye idolaters where you're worshiping a false god with your life. Don't be idolaters. Don't seek after that which is for the flesh, after that which is evil, because they had false gods in that day. What was the problem in that day? They were saved out of this. They were in the church of Corinth. They were supposedly following God, but they still had their idols in their closet, if you will. What do you mean? How many of you have ever done something like this when you're trying to lose weight? When you're in front of everybody, you eat exactly what you're supposed to eat. And when no one's looking, what do? Oh, why is that door squeaking? Someone's going to hear me. And you walk away from anyone. And then when you get in a quiet place, you eat as fast as you can possibly eat it. Why? Because you know you shouldn't have it. But boy, do you want it. In front of everyone else, it looks good. It looks like you're doing this. But the problem was, those in the church of Corinth, they said they were worshiping God, but they weren't truly worshiping God. They had idols in their lives. They had things that had their time. They had things that had their thought life. They had things that got a hold of them. And they weren't fully putting God where God ought to be. God wasn't on the altar. Their idols were on their altar of their lives. Do you know we do that today? Oh, I'm a good Christian. I go to church. I'm doing that. But you know what? God really doesn't have our heart. He has us partially in our lives. Do you know if I have an idol, that means I have put something before God. What's some things we put before God? One of the things people put before God today, and it's a good thing, but just in the wrong place. Do you know people actually put their families before God? Now, I tell you, family's important. We got to take care of our families. But how do we take care of our families, biblically speaking? We raise them in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Do you know what that means? We have our kids in church. We have our families in church. We have time around the Word of God together. We have this, and we're serving God. We're witnessing together. We're doing the things of God. We're teaching them biblical principles. It doesn't mean we take them here and there instead of going to church. Oh, we need our family time. Now, I understand for vacations, I understand we go and we're gone. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking on a regular basis. I'm talking about, this is the idea of this, is where we have taken this idea and we put our families more important than God. Well, I can't do this for the church because I got to do this for my family. I can't do this for God because I got to do this for little Johnny, little Susie. Wait a second. God has to come first in our life. And our kids need to see that. I posted a thing about the four generation fade. And how over the course of time that for this generation it's not that important. And then the next generation is a little less, and then gets a point, the fourth generation down, that the kids don't even care about God at all in the church. You say, well, that's really not true. Look around. Look around today. Look around to see where our world is today. Do you know there was a time that not everybody was saved, but most people had some type of religion? That some people had some type of respect for the things of God. That people had some type of thing. And yes, they might not have worshipped the true God. They might not have worshipped the things that we ought to worship. But at least there was some reverence and respect for the things of God. Look at the generation we're in now. People have no respect for God. That's even people in churches today. They have no respect, no love for the things of God. This is what's happened to this generation. This generation has gone downhill, but it's because of the generation before us, and it's because of the generation there. Now imagine where we're at today and go four generations down from today, where we're going to be. I'm glad I'll be in glory, but you think about where we would be in four generations down from today. They lust after evil things. They were idolaters. They put something else before God in their lives. Now, don't we know that God's supposed to have preeminence? Don't we know God's supposed to have first place in our lives? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. Doesn't Proverbs tell us to put God first? Fear God, and we're supposed to have him first in our lives? Then why don't we do it? Do you know, I believe the children of Israel knew this truth, but I believe those in Corinth already knew this truth, that God was supposed to come first. But Paul says, just as the children of Israel put idols before me, you have put idols before me. Now, what does this all go back to? Love limiting the Christian liberty because they wanted to do what they wanted to do instead of serving God. And says, well, I can eat meat. There's nothing wrong with eating meat. Remember, we looked all about that. And then they have put idols in their lives. I can do what I want. I can live the way I want to live. Don't tell me I have something not right. But it doesn't only say idols. You're falling after idols. It says this. The people sat down to eat. Verse 7, the last part. The people sat down to eat and drink and rose up to play. What is this talking about? This is setting the stage for what he's going to describe as some acts that we call immoral type of activity. I want you to see this principle. I want you to get this. Especially our young people, I want you to get this. What he's saying is there are some in the church of Corinth that know they shouldn't do this, but they're doing this. They're sitting down, they're eating and drinking. Now, what is this talking about? They are becoming, if you will, better word, intoxicated. All right? You study this out. This is what it's talking about. They are setting themselves and changing themselves because in that day, especially in Corinth, what people would do, they would have their big celebrations, their big parties. They would sit down, they would eat, and they would drink and be merry, and then immoral activities would come about. That word play, we're going to get into in a minute, that word play is talking about immoral activities. It's talking about going ahead and being involved in things you should not be involved in. Now, I'm going to try to be as sensitive as I can, but I think we need to hit some of this morning. What does, and I know people will argue with me on this, but let me ask you, what does any type of alcohol of any form due to a person? It distorts their thinking. That's why the Bible says, be sober, be vigilant. That's why it uses that. Why? Because even the little bit, you say, well, that much, little bit doesn't affect me. Do you know there are studies out there by not believers, by this world system, that says it doesn't matter who you are, that even one sip of alcohol starts to destroy your brain cells. It starts to change the way you think. Now, we're not going to get in and argue about what the Bible teaches in this. I just want you to see this. And so when you drink and you put that alcohol in your mind, it changes your mindset. It changes the way that you think. You say, no, it doesn't. Then why do people drink then? Well, it makes me feel better. What do you think it's doing? It's changing your mindset. It's changing the cells. It's changing that way of doing it. And that is what's happening. And when you do that, it is coming in and it's getting you to act or react in a way that is not appropriate according to the Word of God. You say, what do you mean? How many of you have ever seen someone that we consider drunk before? How do they act? Let's just be honest. How do they act? Do they act intelligent or do they act not too intelligent? Okay? And how many of you have been around someone like that? They say they love you 500 times. All right? You know what I'm talking about. And you've seen that. You've seen how they act. You've seen what they've done. Is their mindset where they need to be? Why do you think even our world says you can't get behind a car if you had drink? And there's a certain level in that there. And you know they keep changing that level even down and down because they're realizing, guess what? What they thought was there, it doesn't need to be there because they've realized even a small amount changes the way of thinking. What does it do to a person's reactions when they have drink in their bodies, alcohol in their bodies? It changes. It distorts it. It's not quick reactions. Now, some of you say, well, I don't have quick reactions, just old age. Yes, we understand that. But you it sets that. So what's the thought here? He's telling the Corinthians, you are feeding the flesh, and you're doing this for the flesh. And what's going to happen is you're going to distort and you're not going to keep your body pure. Let's go back. What does it say earlier on in 1 Corinthians? It tells us that our body is the temple of the Holy Ghost. And it tells us we're to keep our bodies pure and clean. Paul is saying, all right, you remember what I taught you earlier in this letter. Now, what are you doing with your life? You see, it's a reminder to learn from the past. Reminder, they ate and they drank and they did those things and they were involved in those activities. They were involved in those things. And then it says, and they played. Now, we see this word play, and then he's going to explain some of the activities that they did. What does this mean? Basically, this is saying they got silly. They did things they shouldn't have done. They got involved in fun things. Now, I say it that way because of this. Sin is fun for a season. You don't have to admit it, but most of us in this room have done something that the world considers fun, and then we realize it's not fun. If you want to admit it, you can, because we've all done that. Sin is fun for a season. Now, I told you this, I've shared this before. When I was in a restaurant growing up, I worked in a restaurant called Bill Knapp's. And one of the jobs that I did there, as I was cooking there and stuff, and then we always had to, especially Saturday mornings, go in about 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning and prep things and get things ready for the day. And there's this guy that would come in every Saturday morning. And he had what we would consider a hangover. He was from the night before. And I was just a wonderful, gracious person. I would take every pot and pan I could find and smash it and make noises and drop everything I could. And he would just, it would kill him. And he would be holding his head. It was awesome. And he'd just do, but he had fun the night before. But what was his sin? What happened the next day? There's a lot of times he had to go home early. There's times he was sick. There's times, wait a second. Sin is fun for a season. We think we can play and we're not going to get burned. That's what Paul was telling them. You think you can play with sin. You think you can play with those things and it's not going to affect you. Do you know sin is going to affect you? Again, I'm trying to be very careful because of the audience we have this morning. But let me tell you this. I think it's something we need to hear this morning. People think they can get involved in a sexual way in things today and there's not going to be results. Well, let me tell you. The Bible says we're to abstain. Absence is what the Bible teaches. That type of physical relationship is to take place between a man and a woman when they're married. It's not to take place between anyone else. It's not to take place. Why? Because that is an act that God gave as a blessing to the marriage couple, to those that become one flesh, united in Christ. And that is that. And we talked about that earlier on where it talks about that a man should not touch a woman in 1 Corinthians. And what that was talking about. And the idea is this. What happens? What do we have on the rise today? Do you know we have teenage pregnancy on the rise today? Do you know what else is on the rise today? Abortions. Because why? Because these teenage kids have a kid themselves because they've been involved in things they shouldn't be involved in. And then they don't want to take care of the responsibility that they have. And they think this is a solution to that. Let me tell you, I'm not trying to be unkind this morning. But I'm trying to tell you this. We're to abstain from those type of things. We're not to play with those type of things. The Bible says the children of God, those that are following after God, be taught from the mistakes, be taught from those things. Hey, you're not supposed to be involved in those things. Stay away from those things. Don't have that evil way of thinking. Don't have those evil thoughts. Don't play with the world. Don't play with sin. Stay away from it. You know, we're playing with sin today. Maybe it's not immoral acts. Maybe we haven't physically done something. Do you know one of the biggest things that are on an increase today is that which we call pornography? And people are playing with that sin. That's immoral act, by the way. Well, I have never done anything with it. Do you know that's even almost in some ways worse than actually being involved in the activity? Because you can never get it out of here. Once you see things you shouldn't see, once you've done that, it is ingrained and engrafted in your mind. And it gets a hold of you. You know what? The Bible says, don't do those evil things. Don't seek after those evil things. Don't lust after those things. Don't play around with those things. Stay away from those things. That's not going to help you in your Christian life. Well, I just got an experienced life, preacher. Do you know what people want to play around with today? Drugs. What do you mean? Do you know it's not just young people playing around with drugs? It's old people playing around with drugs too. And I understand, and I'm not going to get in the debate, can you take this drug for, you know, to have medical reasons and this and that and that? Do you know they've studied it out? Most people that sold calls took some of that for medical reasons. They actually admitted they didn't take it for medical reasons. They took it because, now there are some that did, I understand. Wait a second. And do you know a lot of them that took it for medical reasons got hooked on it, and then it spun and cycled, and it just totally affected their lives and killed their lives and destroyed their lives? Now, here's a thought. Why are we playing with this stuff? Why are you playing with things? Do you know you don't need to even try that stuff? You know God's way of doing things is a whole lot better for your life, and you'll have more joy, more fun doing it God's way than this world's way. But this world paints a picture you need to do it their way. Now, it says they played, they ate and they drank and they played. Now look a little further here as we see the reminders that keep from destructive behavior. It says, neither let us commit fornication. Neither let us commit fornication. Some of them committed and fell in one day, 3,000 and 20,000. Don't get involved in those acts. Don't get involved in those things. Don't get involved in activities you should not get involved in. Then look at verse 9. Neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted and destroyed of the serpents. What does that mean? As we're reminded as we see this, that word tempt carries idea as a difference of opinion. It carries this idea of becoming apathetic towards the things of God. It's saying what they've done is they said, well, is this really true, God? I don't think it is. I don't think it's going to matter. I'm going to tempt God in the sense I'm going to see if what you said is true. I'm going to tempt you and to the point to see, do I really need to stay away from this stuff? It really is not going to make a difference in my life. How many of you have ever heard someone say that before? I know God says this, but does it really matter if I do what God's word says? This is the idea of tempting Christ. This is the idea of becoming indifferent towards what God has said to do. This is the idea of becoming apathetic and saying, all right, God, you've said certain things, but I'm going to go ahead and I'm just going to go ahead and do what I want to do anyways, and it's not going to make a difference. How many of you have told your kids something and they basically looked at you and said, I'm going to do what I want to do anyways? Usually it's older, because if they're in your house, they ain't going to get away with that, right? But it's usually when they're older and they're out of your house and you can only do certain things to them. And you can't do what you could if they were in your home. But they're tempting. Like, is this really going to make a difference? What does he mean? He goes, I've given you principles, Paul says, and you're tempting. Now, the principles came from Christ, and you're tempting Christ. Because God says, if you don't heed to his word, what's God going to do? He's going to get a hold of you one way or another. And he could even take your life. And what is this saying? It's saying you have made fun of the things of God. Believers make fun of the things of God? God's children mock the things of God? We do. Because we say it's no big deal if I live the way I want to live and do what I want to do. Who is that preacher to tell me what I'm supposed to be doing? Who is Paul to tell us that we can't have idols? Who is Paul to tell us we can't be involved in those activities? Who is Paul to tell us we're abstained from those type of lifestyles? Who is Paul to tell us that we can't do this? Well, better yet, who is God to tell us we can't do those things? Oh, preacher, I would never say that. Do you know that's what we do, and that's what tempting God is? When we look at it and say, I know what the Bible teaches. The Bible teaches that we're to not be conformed to this world, but we're to be transformed by the renewing of our mind. The Bible tells us I need to prove that which is good and acceptable and perfect will of God. The Bible says I need to resist the devil and he shall flee from me. The Bible says, and we can go on and look at principles that the Bible tells us we ought to do. And when I say, no, I'm going to do what I want to do, I am tempting God, and I'm saying, guess what, God? I know better than you, and it really doesn't matter, and I'm going to do what I want to do, no matter what you say. How many of us know some basic things God wants us to do as a believer? You know one of the basic things God wants us to do, believer? It's a simple principle. Be holy, for I'm holy. God says, I want you to live a life that is pure, a life that is pleasing. That's a simple, basic principle that guides, I believe, all other principles. Be holy, for I'm holy. Doesn't mean be perfect, because we can't be perfect. But it strives to be pure. And the way we're pure is that with God's help and God's strength to live that way. And when we sin, we confess it, and then God cleanses us. That's what we're supposed to be doing. And he says, but you're not living that life. You're not living that way. And either did the children of Israel in the wilderness live that way. They didn't live that way. It says, neither let us tempt Christ, as some of them also tempted, and were destroyed of the serpents. Do you know, there are many that were destroyed in the wilderness. Because of what? We know what took place, and we know what happened, and we know even we can get into all the things with, even if they look to the thing that was created, and then all that happened. We don't have time to get in all that teaching this morning. But they were destroyed by the serpents. Do you know who we're destroyed by today? Because we play with sin, and we get involved in things we shouldn't get involved in, and we commit things that we shouldn't commit with. You know who destroys us today? There is a roaring lion seeking whom he may destroy. Do you know who wants to destroy you this morning? The devil. And guess what? The devil didn't make you do it. But the devil is there to try to tempt you. And we're going to look at that later on as we get through this. Because even the next verses, we're going to get into today, but we're not. But it talks about this idea of being tempted. And temptation is not a sin. It's giving into that temptation. But we won't get into that this morning. But you know who wants to seek you and destroy you? You know who wants to see you, your family, fall apart today? Do you know who wants to see this church fall apart? Do you who wants to see your teenagers fall apart? The devil. You see, he says, understand this truth. Don't play with sin. Don't play with those things. Because you're doing this, you're committing these acts, you're doing these things in your life, and it's going to destroy you. You're going to be destroyed of the serpents. Because you think it doesn't matter and you can live how you want to live, but it will get you. How many thought you got away with something before? And it was even 5 years later, 10 years later, it got you. How many of you thought before, and it might not be as that long, that you speeded past an officer and you thought you got away with it? Because that officer didn't pull you over. But you didn't know there was another officer right down the road. And you got past that one thinking, oh, I'm in clear sailing. I'm good. And all of a sudden, the lights come on from that second officer and you get pulled over. Do you know what sin does? It destroys. And sin will catch up to you. You won't get away with your sin. You won't get away with how you're living. You won't get away with those things. It will destroy your life. In 23 years of full-time ministry, I have seen many individuals that have sat under the ministry God has allowed me to be a part of. 21 of those years have been here. And I've seen individuals. I've seen, and I started off working with teens. I never wanted to work with adults. They're too ugly. I wanted to work with teens my whole life and work with kids. But I tell you, I remember certain kids. I remember one back when we were in Wisconsin before we moved here. And I see his face today. And I remember talking to him and warning him and working with him. And I remember this. He said, PJ, I can do what I want to do, and I got this. I remember we moved here. It was a year later we got a call from Pastor Kobosh telling us his kid took his own life. Because he had it. I can sit here this morning and I can tell you story after story after story of individuals that thought they had it, thought they could play with sin, thought they could be involved in those things and do those things, and it destroyed their lives. But I also can sit here this morning and tell you story after story of those that got that principle in their lives and their hearts. And I can tell you stories of individuals that I know that are serving God, living for God, on fire for God, even though they had some downs in their lives, even though they had some obstacles in their lives, even though they had some struggles, they kept following God in their lives, and how God gloriously and wonderfully used them and still using them. And they had victory in their lives. Because they got a hold of that principle. That principle given here in verse 6, let me just read that principle, and we're going to close with prayer after I read this principle. It says, now these things were our example to intent we should not lust after evil things as they also lusted. Heavenly Father, we love you. We thank you.